The times were perilous. The king had died, and God seemed to be very, very far away. And when Isaiah's world began to unravel and fall apart, Isaiah went to the house of worship, and Isaiah opened his heart to God, and there in the house of worship, there in the house of God was where he met God, and God met his needs. It happens every Lord's Day in this place of worship.
Pastor and inspirational Bible teacher Owen Duncan, speaking about attending a house of worship on this edition of the Liberty Pulpit. We're glad you can join us as we come to you once again from the fellowship of the Liberty Baptist Church in Ellenboro, North Carolina, proclaiming and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Following the death of King Uzziah in 739 BC, the prophet Isaiah entered the temple in a state of hopelessness and despair for the nation of Israel. While there, God gave Isaiah a vision of his majestic holiness that was so overwhelming that it devastated him and made him realize his own sinfulness. On this edition of the Liberty Pulpit, Owen Duncan reviews what Isaiah saw and heard and describes how we need to apply the lessons learned to our own reasons for attending the Temple of God, our local church. Among other reasons, there is no other place where our needs can be met in God's way. The church is where God meets with his family, the place where we worship and praise him, and the place where the way of salvation is taught. The Bible commands church attendance, Jesus blessed it, and others are encouraged by our presence. At Liberty Baptist Church, somebody's needs are met every Lord's Day. It may not happen to everyone every week, but it happens to somebody. Needs are met and miracles are wrought because our congregation comes to meet and worship God. Pastor Duncan asks two key questions concerning Isaiah's experience at the temple. What did he bring with him, and what did he take away? First of all, Isaiah came to the church with a broken heart and shattered hopes. He also brought a guilty conscience, realizing just how wicked he was once he saw the Lord high and lifted up. He brought a burden for his world, his nation, knowing that all those around him were in the same condition that he was in. He feared that evil was winning all the battles. Isaiah desperately needed a touch from God. He was God's man, yet God seemed so far away. After describing what Isaiah came with, Pastor Duncan discusses the way he left after meeting God in that temple. Isaiah found that all his needs could be met in God, leaving with a new perception of God, realizing that although his earthly king was dead, his heavenly king was alive and well. He found a God who loves without condemning. Isaiah left with a new purity. From the altar came the fire of cleanliness and forgiveness. Finally, he came away with a whole new purpose in life. Knowing that God had not forsaken his world, Isaiah responded, "Here I am, send me," when the Lord asked, "Who can I send?" As he concludes today's message, Pastor Duncan wonders who will answer that same question, reminding us that our reason for living is God, our hope is in God, and our future is in God. So often, people live in this world as if they will live here forever. Pastor Duncan encourages us to abandon the world and sink ourselves in the promises of God instead.
Why should anyone attend church when there's so many other things to do? Why should a person attend church? I want you to turn in your Bibles to Isaiah's prophecy, and we'll look at chapter 6. And let's look at a man who went to the house of God, to the place of worship, and what happened to him. Isaiah chapter 6, and beginning with verse number 1. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had 6 wings. With 2 he covered his face, 2 covered his feet, and 2 he flew with. And one cried to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.' And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. Then I said, woe is me, for I am undone. Can you imagine the sight that Isaiah saw? Because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the middle of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but don't perceive. Man, what an assignment. A lot of pastors might identify with that. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and return and be healed. Then I said, Lord, how long? That's a pretty dismal assignment. And so Isaiah wanted to know, Lord, how long do I have to do this? And God answered, until the cities are laid waste and without inhabitant, the houses are filled or without a man, the land is utterly desolate, the Lord has removed men far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land, but yet a tenth will be in it and will return and be for consuming as a terebinth tree or as an oak, whose stump remains when it is cut down. So the holy seed shall be its stump. Why should anyone attend church? I don't know if you've ever pondered or thought about that question. Well, for one thing, the Bible commands it. Hebrews 10:25 says, forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together. Another thing, Jesus blesses it. In Hebrews 10:21, it says that we have a high priest over the house of God. And it encourages others who attend. There's something about when we come together as a people of God, and your presence helps to contribute to something that is collective that we get when we come to the house of God. I think one of the main reasons, there is no other place like the church where personal needs can be met in God's way. There's a TV commercial about a chain of hardware stores, and it says, you know the little ditty, the little jingle that goes, Ace is the place of the friendly, helpful hardware man. You know what he's talking about. Well, I want to tell you that the church is the place where God meets with His family. Where two or three or more gathered my name, what did He say? He said, I'd be there. The church is a place where we worship and praise God. Church is a place where the way of salvation is taught. The church is a place where we find comfort and strength in time of need. It's a place where we learn to live victoriously. It is a place where we meet those who care for us. It is a place where God's Word is opened up and expounded. You know how bankers learn to detect a counterfeit? Say they can find all the counterfeit bills they can come in and place them before? No. They take a genuine article and they say, memorize it, study it, look at it. Every time you get a chance, study that. And when you see the faults, you'll know it. And there's so much faults in this world today. We need the Word of God. It's a place where the Word is open. It's a place we get help to guide our children. It's a place where we can give to support God's work around the world. It's a place where we support our pastors and church leaders. 1 Thessalonians says, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. It's a place where God gives His blessings. Psalm 84 verse 4 says, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. We're looking at this prophet here in the Old Testament. Isaiah was a very busy and important man. We know this much from history. This is a fact. He was second in command of the most powerful nation in the world. In fact, the kingdom that ruled the world of his day. The times were perilous. The king had died and God seemed to be very, very far away. And when Isaiah's world began to unravel and fall apart, Isaiah went to the house of worship and Isaiah opened his heart to God, and there in the house of worship, There in the house of God was where he met God, and God met his needs. It happens every Lord's Day in this place of worship. It may not happen to everybody, and certain people come and their hearts, maybe some of you today, your heart's not open to God. I trust that it will be. But I can guarantee you that every time we come to the house of worship here in this place, somebody's needs are met and miracles are wrought because they come to meet God. Isaiah did that. It's very important that we understand that. In these perilous times in which we live, we need the church more than we've ever needed it. And I'm going to tell you, there are moves that want to do away with the institutionalized church today, but there is no substitute for it. Now, two questions about Isaiah's trip to the church. Just two simple questions I want us to look at this morning. What did Isaiah take with him to the house of God? Have you ever thought about that? What did Isaiah bring with him to the place of worship? First of all, Isaiah brought a broken heart. His king was dead. His leader was gone. He went to church to weep and to bring his sorrows and lay them down at the feet of God. Isaiah, you see, the year that King Uzziah died, historians tell us this much, that aside from the United Kingdom under David and Solomon, Uzziah was probably the godliest and greatest king they had. So Isaiah brought a broken heart. I think about years ago hearing the preacher that had gone to a certain church down in the low country of South Carolina, and they were so hidebound in legalism till you wouldn't believe it. They thought you had to go to the altar and foam at the mouth and pray. And I know there are times that we do get emotional. We do, in fervency, go to God. But they thought the only way you could, you know. But anyway, he said he noticed when the altar filled up, people would go and other people would come and pray with them. But there was one young lady that nobody went to. And he said she was just weeping as though her heart was ripped out of her. And he said, I went over to her. He ultimately led her to the Lord. But he said, my dear lady, he said, can I help you with anything? And she said, well, Pastor, I need to be saved. And he said, well, you can be. And she said, no. Said, they told me that because I've been divorced that I could not be saved. And he said she wept as though a little child had been whipped. And he said, I opened the Word of God and showed her that it doesn't matter what your past is. It doesn't matter what you've done. There's a God who loves you. A God that will forgive you. And he led her to the Lord. But it was in the house of God that she was seeking and bringing her broken heart to God. I think of the pastor that said, I remembered Larry when he first time he came, walked into our church. And he said he was shabbily dressed. He had a little girl with him, said she was neatly dressed. And he said during the invitation, he said Larry made his way to the altar. He said he was weeping and he wept and cried and he said, we discovered that his wife had abandoned him and the little girl and had started dancing in a strip club and had left him. And he said with a broken heart, he was driving by the church and saw the steeple in the church building. And he said, here's a place where I can bring my bleeding, broken heart. Some of you walked in this door this morning and your heart is so heavy. And maybe nobody even knows about it. Maybe your spouse doesn't know about it. You don't understand why is my heart so heavy? Why can't I find relief from this burden that I'm carrying? I want you to know that Isaiah went to the house of God with a broken heart. And you can bring your broken heart to God. Within the four walls of this church, I want you to know there's a God who said, I'll meet you here. Whatever your need is, I'll meet that need and supply it. But I want to tell you something else Isaiah brought to the house of God that day. Not only a broken heart, but he brought shattered hopes. You see, Isaiah was depending on good King Uzziah to bring about a spiritual revival in his nation. And all of the dreams that Isaiah had for his nation and for the future and its the hopes were lying there in the coffin with Uzziah. Isaiah saw no hope for the future. Isaiah saw no revival on the horizon. And I want to tell you this morning, it's a hopeless time for many people. And I want you to know, in a county that is the 13th most economically distressed county in the nation, there are people walking all around us. We meet them day by day. And some of you may even have seated in this auditorium listening to this country preacher's voice today. And your hopes have been shattered. It could be employment. It could be the dreams that you had for a family member. It could be the betrayal of someone you love. Someone that has taken your heart and twisted it and broken it and stepped on it and crushed it. And you don't know what to do. I want you to know there's a God that you can bring those shattered hopes to. It's a hopeless time for many. Perhaps it's a marital problem, a job difficulties, family situations, other disappointments. But I'll tell you something else that Isaiah brought to the house of God that day. He brought a guilty conscience. When he saw God, he said, "Oh God, oh God, oh God, I'm a man of unclean lips." You see, Isaiah suddenly realized how wicked he was. You say, "Hold on, preacher. This is a man who made it in the book. This is a man who wrote one of the greatest prophets." And biblical scholars are pretty much in unity that Isaiah may be the greatest prophet in the Old Testament. And you see, Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. And the first thing that it was like it was just erupted from his heart. "Oh God, I'm an unclean man. I have unclean lips." Perhaps you are sitting in this audience today. And you come here to this church with guilt. And like a dark cloud, it hangs over your life. The sins of the past and the present haunt you. You've tried to get rid of these things, but you can't. You can't just seem to shake the guilt. And it's there. I think of years ago, I heard the story of a man out west. He's an upstanding man, successful man, successful in business, respected in the community. Had everything it seemed as though the world could offer. Walked in the sheriff's office one day and said, "Sheriff, I'm guilty of a heinous crime back east before I came out west and settled down." And the sheriff said, "Surely not, sir, not you." He said, "Oh yes, send a wire and check it out. Such and such a place, such and such a date." The wire came back, "Yes." And the man faced the charges that were preferred against him. People asked him, said, "Sir, why in this world did you confess to that? No one knew." And you know what he said? He said, "Anything is better than a guilty conscience." He said, "I can't sleep at night without waking up and thinking about it." He said, "Everywhere I go, I think, maybe this is a person that will recognize me." Let me tell you something. You may be here today with a heavy load of guilt, but I know the one that can lift it and make you just as innocent as though you had never committed a single sin in your life. That's awesome. But I want to tell you something else Isaiah brought to the house of God with him that day. He brought a burden for his world. He not only saw that he was a man of unclean lips, but he saw that everyone around him was just like him. It appeared to Isaiah, I'm sure that it's like, "Lord, we're drowning in evil. It's all around us. And it's rampant. Evil is winning the battle." You ever feel that way? Oh, hang on now, hang on. You see, Isaiah wanted his world to change. He wanted his nation to change. And I can feel, as you read this study, you can feel the emotion that Isaiah felt, that he was overwhelmed with the fact that, are we losing the battle? Is our world any different today? I think not. Let me tell you something else Isaiah brought to the house of God that day. He brought a deep need for God. I want you to think about this. Isaiah desperately, desperately needed a touch from God. Now here was God's man. Here was God's prophet. And God to him seemed so far away. Come on, deacon, Sunday school teacher, anyone out there, you staff members and preachers, have you ever reached that point in life when deep down inside you know, yes, I've been called. Yes, I'm God's servant. Yes, I'm His willing, obedient slave. But down deep inside, I'm so dry, I don't know what to do. Isaiah brought that deep need for God. Isaiah was saying, oh God, I need you. Oh God, do something in my heart and my life or I die. He came to the house of God with these things. Isaiah went to the house of God with a broken heart. He brought a shattered hopes to the house of God. He brought a sinful conscience. He was burdened for his world. And he knew he had a deep need for God. But thank God, Isaiah didn't leave church the same way he went to church. And let me tell you something today. If you leave this church the same way you come in, it's not God's fault. Guess who's to blame for it? The second question is this. Well, what did he leave church with? Well, something wonderful happened to him in the house of God. You know what it was? He met God. It's amazing that we can come together like this, several hundred people. Some of you can go away from here thinking, well, that was just another routine service. And some of you will leave here saying, boy, God was there today. Are you open to God? He found, Isaiah found, that all of his needs could be met in him. Let me share with you what he left with. Well, first, number one, he left with a whole brand new perception of God. In the house of God, he had a vision of God. He saw God as king. You see, the throne on earth was empty, but he found out the throne in heaven was still occupied. He found out that though his earthly king was dead, his heavenly king was alive and well. He discovered that the God who was created everything, that heavenly king was still on the throne and still had the world in his hand. I'm going to tell you something. You see, Isaiah saw God in all of His glory. The smoke symbolizes, we're told by the biblical scholars, the glory of God. He saw God in His holiness, the seraphim. You know, I read this recently that there's a hierarchy of angels. There really are. And that the seraphim, seraph, S-E-R-A-P-H, is singular, but you add the I-M and it becomes seraphim plural. And the seraphim are the highest of the angels. And that's what Isaiah saw. And you know what they were saying? They were shouting out, holy, holy, holy. Why three times? Holy is God the Father. Holy is God the Son. And holy is God the Holy Spirit. Listen up, Jehovah's Witnesses. There is a triune God. Amen? Holy, holy, holy. He saw God in His mercy. You see, the throne of glory is also the throne of grace. Did you know the Lord sits on the mercy seat? You say, what in the world is a mercy seat? Well, inside the Holy of Holies, that cubicle, darkened cubicle, that only the high priest could go into once a year, and only after he made sure that every detail of instructions that God had given him was met, he would take the blood from the sacrificial lamb. He'd take a hyssop branch in one hand and in a basin and a laver in the other hand, he would pull that curtain aside that separated the Holy of Holies from the holy place. And once a year, he'd go behind the veil and he'd walk over trembling to the Ark of the Covenant where the seraphim again, in gold plate, solid gold, were looking down over the mercy seat on top of the Ark of the Covenant. And then in that darkness, he would take and sprinkle that blood on the mercy seat. And then the place would light up. and the bells around his rope bottom would still be tinkling, and the rope that was tied to his ankle in case God did not accept the offering, and they'd have to pull his dead body out. No man dared to go in there. And Isaiah said, I saw the Lord. You see, what was on earth in that earthly temple and tabernacle was a shadow of the one that is perfect in heaven. And what Isaiah saw, the Lord seated on the throne, he understood there is a throne of grace. Grace. I can go to that throne and understand that there's a God who loves me that doesn't condemn me. Oh, when I was a child, I soon learned if I disobeyed my dad's instructions, but if I went to him as soon as he got home and said, Dad, and I'd hang my head, I'd say, Dad, I'm so sorry, I didn't do, or I did something you told me not to. You know what? I found mercy. I found forgiveness. I found love. But if I tried to hide it and let my dad discover it and find out about it, it was judgment day. Amen? The throne of grace, the throne of glory is a place where we can find mercy and forgiveness for our sins. Oh, glory, hallelujah. The Lord sits on the mercy seat. But oh, let me tell you what else he carried. Away. He carried a new purity. Not only a new perception of God, but a new purity. A coal was brought from the altar and placed on Isaiah's sinful lips. And from the altar came the fire of cleansing and forgiveness. You too, let me tell you something. I don't care who you are, what you're guilty of, whether it's small or big in the eyes of the world or you, even yourself. You can leave here today with a clean heart. The blood of Jesus cleanses from most unrighteousness, most nearly all of it. No, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all. Do you think God said what he meant? Well, if it says that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness, why do we go around with a load of guilt? Or we'll confess something 10,000 times. 20 years later, we'll be saying, Lord, forgive me for that. And God's saying, why do you keep bringing that up? A new purity. It matters not how big or how bad the sin. Forgiveness can be yours through Christ. And I'm going to tell you, the church is a good place to have your sins forgiven. But I want to tell you finally what he brought back from church that day. And the house of worship was a whole brand new purpose. Things were bad in the world and in his world, but Isaiah discovered that God had not forsaken his world. Oh, glory to God. Let me tell you something. It looks bad around us, amen? From the White House on down. All the politicians we elect and send up there, it doesn't matter what party they belong to. They had to be in cahoots to get the stuff done that's sinking this country, amen? I don't care whether you call them Democrats, Republicans, Tea Partiers, Independents, or whatever they are. They're all guilty. And it looks bad. And we think, what's going to happen to our nation and our world? Can I tell you, I've read the last chapter. I know what's going to happen. Hey, we're getting ready to go home. The rapture is soon going to occur. The rapture could occur today. It could occur. I believe it. The likelihood of it happening this year is extremely high. Now go away. I'm not a date setter. You go away from here saying, boy, that preacher's flaky. Let me tell you something. You read and study the Word of God and you'll become flaky too. Amen. In the eyes of the world. In the eyes of the world. I don't know. I just thought about this. There's a marathon run out in California. And they had a certain race you had to run. I forget how many miles that thing was. I say, you guys go for it. But anyway, there was 128 entrants in this marathon. 123 of them missed a turn. One man knew the course. And he yelled out, no, no, no. And they all, ha, 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 you look at Heath. And 123 of them went this way. 123 were disqualified. Only four others listened to this guy. They asked him later, said, what do you think about the guys? He said, well, they thought it was funny that I was going the right way. Let me tell you something, church. We who know the Lord Jesus Christ and know this book, let the world think that we're funny. Glory to God, when the race is settled and the goal has been achieved and we've crossed the finish line and the celebrations begin, we are winners. The Word says in Romans 8, Paul said that we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. So if they think I'm off bubble, you know what my word for them is? No, I'm not. You're off bubble. Amen? Amen. God cries out to Isaiah. Picture the sight. In the house of God, he sees God high and lifted up. And he says, woe is me. Oh God, woe is me. And God says, Isaiah, that's okay. And he instructed an angel, pick up a coal from the fire and put it on his lips. And he did. Purified him and cleansed him. And then God says, who can ascend? Who can ascend? And immediately Isaiah says, here I am, Lord. Here I am. Send me. Send me, Lord. Where are you in your worship for God? When God is looking down from heaven saying, if you will listen to His voice, who can ascend? Who will go for me? And so Isaiah leaves with a whole newfound purpose to his life. He's met God and now he's got to share what he knows. His reason for living is God. His hope is in God. His future is in God. He has abandoned the world in order to sink himself into the promises of God. Where are you? Why do we live for this world like we're going to live here forever? We fuss and fret and worry over things in this life when we're only here for a very brief period of time. In case you don't know, eternity is a long time. You ever thought about that? Somebody said this, you don't begin to live until you discover something worth dying for. Have you made that discovery? Have you discovered the pearl of great price? I'm going to ask you, when we come now to our time of invitation, and I'm going to ask you, I don't know in what way God has spoken to your heart, but let me just say this. If God has spoken to your heart, you know it. Come on now, you know it. Down deep inside. And what is it that God needs to do in your heart and life? I'm going to ask you to get up, make your way. Just coming forward is not going to make any difference unless you're serious about it and mean it in the deepest part of your heart. So as we quietly and reverently stand, we're going to invite you to come to Jesus. We're asking you to settle it. If you're here today and you don't know that you know the Lord Jesus Christ and forgiveness of sin, don't go another day, another moment with the guilt of that sin on your heart and life. If you're broken and your heart's broken and you don't know what to do with it, bring that broken heart to Jesus today, will you? Come on, step on out right now. Come on and be honest with God. We're here in the house of God. You can fool me. You can fool people around you. You can even fool your family, your spouse. But you're not going to fool God. Come on, if you've got a broken heart. Come on, if your hopes have been shattered and you don't know what to do. Bring it, your bewilderment and your anxiety, your worries, your cares, and bring them to Jesus. That's what we're asking you to do today.
I need Thee every hour.
Donald Owen Jones leading the congregation in a hymn of invitation as Owen Duncan closed his message on the reasons for attending a house of worship on this edition of the Liberty Pulpit. Thank you for listening. Our prayer is that this program has ministered to you in some way today. This broadcast originates from the pulpit of the Liberty Baptist Church in Ellenboro, North Carolina. You can listen to and download many more messages by Pastor Duncan by visiting our website, thelibertypulpit.com. Click on the message library page to see a selection of previous broadcasts listed by title and scripture reference. If you desire to hear God's Word proclaimed and taught with clarity and passion, you will find it on the message library page at thelibertypulpit.com. Now, on behalf of Pastor Owen Duncan and everyone at Liberty Baptist Church, and until we meet again, may God richly bless you.